Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
All right, so Deshaun Watson showed up at the building yesterday for the Texans as we welcome you back in here on Payne and Pendergast. The big question now, does Deshaun Watson set foot on the practice field this week at Camp Caserio? Wednesday, 9 a.m., we'll get our answer. Maybe we'll get our answer sooner if the two sides come to some sort of agreement as to how Deshaun is handled. But Seth, to me, the longer that it goes without us hearing anything as a follow-up to Ian Rappaport's report yesterday that Deshaun Watson was showing up at the building, I'm assuming if we hear nothing else, he's going to trot out onto the practice field on Wednesday.
I think so.
The longer it goes, the better a chance that we see Deshaun Watson on Wednesday in a Texans uniform.
Unless there's a mysterious soft tissue injury, like a strained hamstring or something.
Oh, my arm. It's broken.
Deshaun, now, usually when I say soft tissue injury in a football context, I mean like, you know, pulled hammies, quads, stuff like that. Technically, your ACL is a soft tissue, but football, usually you're talking about like those little strains and pulls and tears of muscles, not ligaments. Deshaun's never really had any soft tissue injuries, any like hamstrings, quads, groins. You don't hear about him, you know, missing time because he's a little.
He's played through them.
Yeah, he's had a few. His hamstrings have been stiff a few times, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, but he never misses anything.
Right. Yeah. So it would be notable if all of a sudden Deshaun, after an entire offseason of doing just about nothing from a football perspective, other than on his own, if all of a sudden he was unable to practice. If he does do that, do you think that would be with the cooperation of the team, or do you think it would be Deshaun pulling a Jalen Ramsey and having mysterious injuries? Jalen Ramsey, when he was working his way off of the Jaguars, all of a sudden started having all these mysterious, non-verifiable injuries like back tightness.
I think it would be, boy, I circle back to what you say, and I agree with you on this. I don't think Deshaun Watson has the James Harden gene in him.
Yeah.
To fake his way through something or come up with some contrived reason to not be there. I think if Deshaun's not there, it's because the two sides have sat down and decided it's best for both sides for him to not be at practice. I think otherwise, he's going to be out there in some shape, form, or fashion. You know, that's what I feel. So I guess
you don't think he's going to show up looking like Damon Wayans in the Great White Hope?
No, no. Like, or James Harden.
A cigarette.
Right. No.
Harden was, I tried to make the connection with James Harden in the Great White Hype, but it just had a different feel to it.
Yeah.
I feel like Deshaun, now, because Deshaun's got more of that skinny physique.
Yes.
Where if he did let himself go, it would be kind of like Damon Wayans looking like letting, Harden's naturally thicker.
He is. Okay, real quick. So I put up a poll. Does Deshaun Watson set foot on the practice field this week at Camp Caserio? I think the early results of the poll, several hundred votes in, Seth, indicate just how amazing Wednesday morning could be. 52% no, 48% yes. So it's split right down the middle. So basically, it's an indicator nobody knows.
And we might have a situation as well where Deshaun shows up, and because he doesn't know the new terminology or anything, is working with the third string group or the four, maybe he's the fourth string quarterback taking tips from Jeff Driskel on how to toss the pill.
Oh my God.
Jeff Driskel will take him under his wing.
There's a chance we're going to be at a practice where Deshaun Watson is getting fewer reps than Jeff Driskel.
I'm going to give him a pat on the butt and be like, just keep your head up, buddy. You'll get there. You'll get there someday.
Yeah, you'll be
good. You'll be Jeff Driskel
that's
level
right,
someday.
That's right.
So I think that, of course, unlike some people would get consent for that pat on the butt. So I think that with, if he shows up and he's practicing with the third stringers, first of all, it'd be a great thrill for all of those unnamed and unknown rookies and veteran free agents and everything that might never catch a pass from a guy like Deshaun Watson.
What a practice ball from Deshaun.
But the big question is, okay, what is the relationship with Deshaun and the team right now, and how does that affect whether he plays or not? Albert Breer, who at various times in the last few years, Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated, we here at Sports Radio 610 have openly speculated, gosh, sure seems like Albert Breer knows a lot about Bill O'Brien.
Well, his roots are in New England. Yeah. He's from Boston, and he's got ties to Casario as well, presumably.
And he does have a personal relationship with Bill O'Brien,
that's
or
right.
at least, you know, however close, you know, a journalist and a coach can be.
Yeah.
But he had some really interesting things. Meltzer tweeted this out. At first, I didn't know who it was from, but you and I talked about it, and we thought, that sounds like an Albert Breer
joint.
We
sleuthed during the break.
You figured it out. You said, that sounds like an Albert Breer. So it
is. These are important bullet points here.
Okay, I'll read this verbatim from Albert Breer. The relationship between Watson and owner Cal McNair is in a really bad place. If it's not irreparable, it is bordering on that. And as a smart coach once told me, the one thing I can't change is the owner. The communication breakdown during the coaching search was the root of it, and nothing has changed to fix it since. In fact, it may be worse now than it was then.
That's logical.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way it could have gotten better.
And that's a tough one, just because sometimes, and I've said this before, you got to be careful when you start looking at other pastures when it comes to hoping for a different or a better owner or what have you. I think with Deshaun, if Cal had never told Deshaun that he was going to make Deshaun part of the coaching search or part of the GM search, then I don't think Deshaun or any other quarterback really would have thought much of it. Because the standard is usually that you don't necessarily consult your players, even your best star players, in football. It just doesn't happen that often. It's not the way things are done. So he might not have thought anything of it. But once he was told and he felt like he was part of the influencers and any of his advice or what have you was ignored or he felt like he wasn't kept in the loop, I think that's where Cal's good intentions may have got the best of him in that situation.
It feels like a broken promise to Deshaun.
Yeah, that's how it's been portrayed.
Yeah.
This is the other thing Albert Breer says. I've heard that Casario is determined not to take any sort of discount for Watson.
Good.
And I think that's totally understandable. For a guy who inherited this problem, he has a 25-year-old franchise quarterback under contract for the next half decade. The best thing for the organization is either convince him to stay, not likely, or get a king's ransom for him. Absent clarity from the league or legal system, it might be hard to land one. Yeah, and those are the two big issues right now, timing and the legal system. What team out there is going to say, okay, look, you don't know anything about the legal situation. I don't know anything about the legal situation. For all I know, the HPD might come down and press charges sometime soon, but here are three first-round picks.
Right.
Like, it's just... It's almost impossible for a trade to be executed right now that makes sense for either side at a fair value. So I think that the most likely scenario is that you get some kind of clarity on this or from a legal perspective over the next 6 months. And the trade, if a trade happens, it would happen in January, February, or March of next year, or April.
Yeah, yeah. But, boy, that means that if Goodell's investigation into all this is slow moving, and Breer earlier in this piece sort of indicates that, Seth, where he says implicitly the league office is telling us it doesn't have enough evidence and isn't close enough to closing the investigation to do it. This thing only needs to go, I say only, it sounds like a long time, but it's been going on for months and months. It only needs to go about another month and a half till we need to start wondering, okay, how are the Texans and Deshaun Watson handling the regular season here? If indeed he shows up at practice this week, then that means the team is moving forward with him being around in some shape, form, or fashion. If they send him home, then they send him home, and that changes the calculus a little bit. But if the league is slow moving on this, we could get to the regular season where there's no commissioner exemplist involved.
And this is where the NFL and the Texans are really, from a PR perspective, from a moral perspective, all of these things, they're damned if they do and damned if they don't. Because what you have here is you've got to balance two things. One is that the player is innocent until proven guilty. But the other is that you also have to be very cognizant of the way NFL players treat women and how the NFL has mishandled it in the past. And you have to take this with the utmost seriousness. And it's just impossible. You're in such a bind where if the NFL intervenes too much, you know, if the NFL tries to investigate on their own, this is what happens. When they start trying to talk to the plaintiffs, they get accused of being, you know, of trying to influence the plaintiffs or being cruel. If they don't talk to the plaintiffs at all, then it looks like they just flat out don't care. If they try to let the legal process play out, people think the NFL isn't being proactive enough. They're damned if they do and damned if they don't. It's not their fault in that circumstance. But that's the hand that they've been dealt right now.
The last bullet point from Breer. And we'll carry this into the next segment. Albert Breer, SI.com, has a piece, an extensive analysis of where things are between Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. The very last bullet point he has in this series of bullet points about the current situation makes me optimistic that the Texans understand what the best case scenario is in the Deshaun Watson situation. We'll tell you what it is next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610. As we just read during the previous segment, Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network says, the Texans are now willing to listen and have been for some time to trade offers for QB Deshaun Watson. Multiple sources tell me and Ian Rappaport, the price is high for a player of his caliber and should be. Likely three first-round picks and more. Follow-up from Pelissero. When he reported to camp Sunday, Watson was respectful, but his demeanor reiterated he doesn't want to be in Houston. The question is, will a team step up with a type of massive offer that would compel the Texans to move him now? Watson also would have to waive his no-trade clause. I don't think that's going to be a problem. This was a part of Breer's article, and boy, there's the big reporters on this are digging into this deep, and they're very plugged in. Albert Breer, just to put a bow on the bullet points he was bringing up from the Texan side of things, Seth, in the previous segment, the very last bullet point is the one that has me most enthusiastic about a scenario under which Deshaun Watson would get traded, and it's very short. For what it's worth, the sense other teams got over the summer break is that the Texans were not in a rush to move Watson.
Right.
And I think that's a good thing. To me, to me, the best case scenario that doesn't involve reconciliation with Watson, because the best case scenario could be keeping your franchise quarterback. The best case scenario that involves trading Watson to me is absolutely trading him come draft time, offseason time next year. And maybe it entails them putting on the commissioner's exempt list or him serving a suspension this year. But I just don't think the market's going to shape. Certainly the market with him still having legal troubles over his head, even though some of these teams might do their own investigating and get comfortable with, okay, we're comfortable making this trade. We know there could be some broken glass somewhere along the way, but damn it, it's Deshaun Watson. I think trading him next spring is the ticket for Nick Caserio.
The huge factor here, and this is a point that you made before the draft this year, Sean, is that before the draft, you know exactly what draft picks you're getting. You know, okay, this is the, like, say if they had traded with the Jets, it would have been the number two overall draft pick. Right now, if you trade Deshaun Watson to a team that maybe is a bad team right now, but with Deshaun Watson, conceivably, they end up being at least a 500-win team, possibly a 12-win team, something like that. And then all of a sudden, your draft pick isn't worth as much. There's just too much. There's so many more variables and unknowns when you trade Deshaun Watson right now because he makes the team he goes to that much better. Whereas you wait until February, March, April. Well, you have to wait until March when the league year begins officially. Then you actually know what draft picks you're getting.
Yeah. I guess the one thing about that is that if the Texans had traded Deshaun last spring earlier this year, in March or April of this year, it was almost imperative that they come away with a top five pick because they had no first or second round pick.
Yeah.
Whereas the one thing about trading him this time around, I'm not saying you don't max value. Get max value you can for him. This is the most important transaction in the history of your team. You've got to max it out. However, presumably, they will have a high first-round pick that's their own pick this year.
Yeah.
You know, whereas this past year, they had no first- or second-round pick. You really had to, if you were going to move him, try to max out 2021 as best you could.
And it is. Like, what kind of a discount are teams talking right now for, like, realistically, if you're another team and you're thinking about trading with the Texans, I would think I'm calling them up and saying, hey, buddy, I know, you're in a rough spot. I appreciate it, man. Look, I love the guy. We're willing to take that risk. What would you say to about a first rounder and our quarterback, whoever it might be? I don't know. And I don't know if I'm going any higher than that. I'm not going more than if I'm another team trying to be opportunistic right now. I'm going to see if I can catch the Texans desperate and offer as low as a first round pick. Because, hey, look, I know it sounds cheap, but man, what's going to happen to me if all of a sudden all these allegations are true and we end up without Deshaun for 2022 or more?
Let me ask you this. If you were a team trading for Deshaun Watson right now,
yeah,
not a year from now, not next spring, but right now, with all the legal clouds swirling around Deshaun, the accusations swirling around Deshaun, the possibility of a suspension swirling around Deshaun. If you were a general manager making a trade right now for Watson and you found a price that you found palatable,
yeah.
Now you bring him into your organization, would you be more concerned about the outcome of the legal saga from a playing prevention standpoint, like a suspension standpoint, or would you be more worried about the PR backlash of bringing Deshaun in given the nature of the accusations?
I think any team that's going to bring him in kind of has that DNA of feeling like they'll be able to weather the storm on the PR side. I think it's going to be like Jeff Luna was with Roberto Osuna, just with a much more high profile blowback. And that's where I'd be curious to exactly. There's some owners out there and some general managers that frankly just don't give a damn. They feel like, okay, whatever, there'll be a lot of grandstanding in the media and some fans will be upset, but winning football games ultimately cures all that. And it's not every owner, it's not every general manager, but the ones that are built that way, I don't think they're going to worry too much about it. I think Pete Carroll probably would just figure it would blow over with time, and it's not going to be Pete Carroll, but a guy like that, organization like that.
But it's worth pointing out the Eagles are traditionally a team that is a second chance kind of team. Yeah. Michael Vick being the most high profile, but there's other examples of the Eagles giving second chances to guys. That's a team that checks a lot of boxes administratively for what Nick Caserio presumably would be looking for. First round picks.
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder organizationally, though, what the Eagles' memory is about. Remember, they had the big cheerleading scandal where there used to be a peephole in the cheerleaders' locker room.
I don't remember that.
Okay. There was. All right. So when I got into the league, there were these always these stories that in the Philadelphia Eagles locker room, there was a the visiting locker room, that there was a peephole into the Eagles cheerleaders locker room.
Okay.
And that, I don't know what all the stories were, that, you know, they did that intentionally to try to distract the visiting team, what have you. I played up in the old Veterans Stadium, and it wasn't, there was no, it's not like I actively went out searching for it or anything. It was like, there was stories older guys told about how it used to be.
Yeah.
And eventually the Eagles were sued for it, and I believe the cheerleaders won. And it was not a good look for the Philadelphia Eagles,
right,
obviously. So I don't know, like, for a team like that, does that still affect the
decision
making when it comes to this?
Yeah. The nature of what Deshaun is being accused of is obviously very different than what Michael Vick went to prison for.
Right.
Is that
right.
Your point?
Yeah, but except that this is similarly, the accusations are of a very creepy sort.
Yeah.
Or a very creepy variety.
Well, in a time that, let's face it, and I think it's a good thing that, you know, we're more sensitive to it now.
Yeah.
You know, as a society, so...
It's amazing if you think about think about the movie Porky's.
Yes.
And
Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
They installed cameras.
The stuff that was just kind of like goofy hijinks amongst adolescent boys, or Back to the Future. That old perv.
Yeah.
I think the things have changed for the better in how we regard that kind
of stuff. I did a podcast. I was a guest on an 80s podcast a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
In which I did a watch along of Revenge of the Nerds, and we counted up the number of felonies that were in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
That we just laughed at the time back in 1985.
Well, he's just a harmless nerd.
Right.
Someday that harmless nerd's going to be flying to space with billions of dollars. Harmless my ass. You better watch out.
Here's one more from Tom Pelissero. As we go through the Deshaun Watson drama here on Payne and Pendergast on a Monday morning, interested teams have done homework on Deshaun Watson's legal situation. The NFL hasn't placed him on the exempt list, and the civil cases won't go to trial this year. If a team gets comfortable with that piece, it's a rare opportunity to acquire one of the NFL's best young QBs. If you're a team trading for Deshaun Watson, keep in mind, you're not just trading for the nature of the accusations right now. I mean, granted, yes, you are trading for a top five quarterback. You are trading right now for a legal cloud hanging over your team the entire season. We should point this out, that the timeline for Deshaun Watson's trial for these civil suits, and right now neither side appears to be moving on a settlement in any of this. Both sides have said that we're not settling anytime soon, and Tony Busby is still flying around all over the world on his honeymoon right now. He's the attorney for the plaintiffs. But the timeline for a trial has been set. The earliest that Deshaun Watson would be deposed, Seth, is February 22nd of next year. That's a week after the Super Bowl.
How about this? Okay, let's see he goes trade. Let's go see he plays for the Eagles.
Yeah.
At least one of the women involved in this is from Atlanta. Is she not?
One of the massage therapists,
yes.
You're saying? Yes.
Okay, and I don't know if she's maybe talked to the authorities in Atlanta
or not.
Did
they play the Falcons?
They play the Falcons in Atlanta. We have one of those situations. Now, let's see if they play the Cardinals. They wouldn't play the Cardinals then.
Because there was one in Arizona, right? Do they play either of the Los Angeles teams? Because wasn't there one in Beverly Hills, I believe?
Let's see. They play the Raiders. I'm guessing at some point Deshaun got a massage in Las Vegas in that calendar year in which he had a 50 different massage therapists,
right, probably.
But I don't. But as far as right now, we don't know.
Right.
No, I'm not seeing. They've got road games in Washington, New York. Okay. Deshaun's been to New York a few times. We know
recently,
even recently.
Yeah, last week.
Detroit. I doubt he was taking a vacation to Detroit. But the Atlanta one was the first one that jumped out at me.
Man, a lot of angles with this stuff. So Deshaun Watson was in the building yesterday again. Tom Pelissero. If you're wondering, that was the part I found most intriguing, Seth, of the Pelissero tweets. It wasn't necessarily that the Texans are listening to offers or willing to listen to offers for Deshaun. That's logical. I was intrigued by the part about the demeanor of Deshaun. You know, Tom Pelissero clearly talking to somebody who...
Read that again.
Yeah, he says, when he reported to camp Sunday, Watson was respectful, but his demeanor reiterated he doesn't want to be in Houston.
The only thing I worry about sometimes, I don't like when people report on emotions or stuff like that. Remember the report that Jadeveon Clowney had stormed out of the stadium
right,
because he wasn't playing, and it turned out he was going to give the give his tickets to his family right. so they could get into the
game. Lisa Salters on the broadcast.
Yeah, like when you start interpreting people's emotions, I get a little nervous. Like his demeanor, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he flat out doesn't want to be there. But that could also be him being uncomfortable, him being, you know, why is somebody quiet? There's a million different reasons somebody could be quiet.
All right, a lot going on around the sports world. We'll get to all of it in headlines in the next segment, including power ranking the awkwardness of Deshaun's interactions inside NRG Stadium this week. That's next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Good to be with you on a Monday, Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. We'll do headlines in a few minutes. Deshaun Watson in the building over at NRG Stadium. What's that quarterback room going to be like? Here was Tyrod Taylor in his media availability during OTAs on being the Texans quarterback.
Honestly, was not for sure about that. And just knew that it was an opportunity for me to be able to showcase what I could do. Since I came into the league, I've always treated the job, and I think every quarterback should approach it this way. It's just to prepare as a starter because at our position, you're one play away. You never know when that opportunity will come. So regardless of how the roster looks, you have to come in and prepare as a starter each and every day. That gives yourself the best chance to go out and be successful, but it also gives your team the best chance to be successful throughout the year.
The question was about his role with the team, and that was Tyrod Taylor's answer. I always think it's interesting, Seth, if you were asked about his role with the team and Deshaun Watson was in the building at that time, would he be talking about preparing as a starter? The more I listen to that cut, the more I think that's probably standard backup quarterback speak or standard quarterback period speak, is to say, hey, you always got to prepare as a starter. It's not a way of saying Tyrod Taylor's here to be Deshaun Watson or take Deshaun Watson's job. It's really a way of indicating how well prepared you need to be. Nevertheless, and the question will get answered a little later on this week at Camp Casario, 9 a.m. Wednesday is when the first practice is if Deshaun Watson is at practice, is he all of a sudden taking the reps that Tyrod Taylor was taking during OTAs? Tyrod Taylor, as best you could tell during OTAs, because there were a lot of days where some of the ones weren't out there, but if you cobbled it together and you saw which quarterbacks were playing with which grouping of players, Tyrod Taylor was clearly with the group that would be considered, as best you can assess with this totally churned roster, the ones.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, and that's exactly how you would do it. Like, any coach in any coaching staff in America is going to say, okay, the guy with 3 years of starting experience in the NFL versus our fourth round quarterback, we'll go ahead and
Jeff Driscoll.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and make Tyrod Taylor the starter. And Tyrod, now, for those of you that don't know, Tyrod's had an interesting stretch or an interesting career, because he was a backup in Baltimore, a young backup forever. He had a chance to go be a starter in Buffalo, started for three seasons. Ultimately, the Bills aren't happy with him as the quarterback of the future, and they draft Josh Allen. That worked out pretty well. So he gets displaced, in effect, by Josh Allen. Goes off to Cleveland. He's just holding the seat. He's just keeping the seat warm for Baker Mayfield. Goes out to L.A. and was keeping the seat warm for
Justin Herbert.
Yeah. When all of a sudden, but at least it looked like he was going to get a chance to get some serious starting time in L.A. But he had his lung punctured by a team physician, and he never got the chance. Justin Herbert goes on to be offensive
rookie of the year. Like a painkiller shot. Yeah. They punctured his lung. Yeah.
That's all she wrote. So now here he comes, and it looks like maybe, lo and behold, he finally has an opportunity to at least start off the season as the starter, and now Deshaun Watson's back. So he knew getting into it when he signed here,
sure,
that it was a strange situation.
Yeah.
It wasn't 100% ironclad guaranteed, and that he still might very well be the starting quarterback come September. But it just... I guess maybe there's not a quarterback who's better prepared for a situation as weird as this as Tyrod Taylor, you could argue that it's harder for Tyrod Taylor to manage this situation properly than for Deshaun Watson. I mean, guys, Tyrod's never led this team. Nobody on the team thinks that Tyrod Taylor is a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson. But he might be in a position where, because the coaches choose to handle it this way, he might be the starting quarterback with Deshaun Watson, at least for now, as his backup or third string quarterback. Even if it's just for the first week, it's going to be an awkward and strange situation.
It's weird too, because the head coach, David Culley, has zero history with Deshaun Watson. He actually has some history with Tyrod Taylor. He was Tyrod Taylor's quarterbacks coach in Buffalo,
right?
Yeah, so there's actually a little bit of history there between the two.
That's
guys.
The one thing that, you know, I think part of the appeal for David Culley and Nick Caserio in bringing in Tyrod Taylor is that Tyrod Taylor uses his legs really effectively, yeah, and he's a better quarterback than his passing stats would suggest, just because the old school passing stats, or passer ratings, those measure your actual passing ability, where things like ESPN's QBR does a pretty good job of balancing out how a quarterback's legs help him and his not turning the ball over helps him. And he's an above-average quarterback by QBR standards. Culley's got a lot of experience working in schemes like they had in Buffalo or like they had in Baltimore,
yeah,
with Lamar Jackson, where it's much more of a designed quarterback run scheme. With Deshaun, they use designed quarterback runs, but never as effectively or as often as I would have liked. I wanted at least two a game just to balance out the defense and keep the defense on their toes, keep a little bit of uncertainty over there. I think with Tyrod Taylor, they will do that.
How awkward is this for Deshaun, either in the quarterback room or with his teammates? Seth, if you were one of Deshaun's teammates and Deshaun's at practice in the building in team meetings this week, what's the awkwardness level?
It all comes down to how Deshaun handles it, because I think that for guys on the team, they're used to seeing a very positive, very upbeat Deshaun Watson, you know, a guy that's always coaching guys on the field. If he shows up and around the team, he's a different guy. I'm just putting myself in that position. And as a defensive player, you don't frankly care too much about the quarterback usually, but this is a little bit different of a situation. If he's sullen, or if he's quiet and he's not coaching guys up and he's not out there being positive, I think it'd freak me out a little bit. Now, everybody's got their own battles and issues too. So I think that I think sometimes when people talk about disarray or discontent in the locker room or anything, you always have to remember, yeah, guys will have feelings about something, but they also got to watch out for numero uno, and they got to make this team. They got to you know, feed their family, do all that stuff too. So life goes on, but it's certainly not a positive environment if Deshaun is acting like a guy that just flat out doesn't want to be there.
Does Deshaun Watson's demeanor at camp impact his trade value at all? In other words, if I'm a team that's in the Deshaun Watson market and I'm hearing reports out of camp that, yeah, man, it's like normal. Deshaun's plugged in. He's coaching guys. Or I'm hearing things like what you just said where Deshaun is walking around moody and grumpy and he's disengaged. Does that impact what a team is willing to give up?
I don't think so. Like, if there's one thing that I've learned in professional sports, it's that almost no amount, unless you have a reputation as a bad dude, and Deshaun, in terms of being a football player, does not have a reputation of being a bad dude. We'll let the other process play out for how he acts outside the
massage outside, patient. His right. Reputation's taken a hit.
So, right. But as far as from a football perspective, not one bit of a reputation as a bad dude.
Yeah.
That usually, this is what happens. This is what you have to remember. All those other guys at other teams all think that their situation is better than the Texans, and that Deshaun won't act like that with us because we're awesome. You know, like the same way they do. Same way position coaches do it the same way with players all the time.
I can get the best out of that
guy.
That's
what the Texans are doing with Anthony Miller right now.
That's right.
There's some coach out there on the Texans right now that's thinking like, hey, Anthony Miller was he was very inconsistent and he was a disappointment up there in Chicago, but he hasn't been coached by me
that's
yet,
right.
You see.
Yeah.
You see? He ain't seen the likes of me.
That's right.
I'm going to get the most out of Anthony Miller.
Hope you enjoy all 90 of his catches this year because that's what he's getting.
That was the other bit of news, everybody. Anthony Miller, who's been an inconsistent, sporadically showing bursts of extreme athleticism, the slot receiver out of Chicago, was traded for some swapped late-round picks.
Yep.
By the Texans.
We'll hit that in headlines.
That's the whole reason Deshaun showed up.
Was Anthony Miller?
Wait a second. They got Mill Dog? Here we go.
Mill Dog.
Yeah, that's what Deshaun calls him, Mill Dog.
Mill Dog. So the awkwardness with his teammates, I think that's a good way to look at it, Seth. It's kind of dependent on Deshaun's demeanor. Now, Seth, let's power rank the Deshaun bumps into you in the hallway at NRG Stadium level of awkwardness between some of these other people. Okay. All right, you ready? Tim Kelly.
Probably, okay, like on a scale of 1 to 10, yeah. I'll give awkwardness level. I'm going to say like a 3.
Okay.
He's like, you know, like, those two can sit together and be like, look, we've sat through Bill O'Brien temper tantrums before. You know, we've been through the wars. We've had good times. We've had bad times. This is another one of those. And I think Tim Kelly probably, you know, Tim Kelly doesn't strike me as a real, you know, huggy type of guy, but maybe even puts his arm around Deshaun. He's like, hey, bud, let's just get through this.
Tim Kelly might thank Deshaun. I think there's a lot of people that think the reason Tim Kelly still has a job on the staff is because they thought, hey, this is somebody Deshaun likes.
Yeah.
You know?
Or Tim Kelly could be in Alabama right now.
That's right.
Would Tim Kelly rather be offensive coordinator of the Texans nominally, or would he rather be like a quarterbacks coach in Alabama right now?
Texans.
You think so?
Yeah, I think
even
so.
Though he's got very little chance of doing it. He's going to, you know what? It's going to be like with Anthony Weaver. Like, people are going to look at it. Anthony Weaver will get another shot at being a defensive coordinator someday.
Yep.
Because people are going to look at the Texans situation and say, well, look, you were playing with a bunch of JV guys out there.
That's right.
I think likewise with Tim Kelly, they'll look at last year's performance and say, okay, you did some really good things in the passing game. What have you learned about the running game? And then he'll get another
opportunity. There's no expectations with this offense this year if it doesn't have Deshaun Watson. Everybody's thinking it'll be one of the worst in the league. And I don't think it's going to be great if they don't have Deshaun Watson, but I think it's going to be better than a lot of people think.
So I would say awkwardness level like a 2 or 3 with Tim Kelly.
Nick Caserio.
Okay, on a scale of 10, awkwardness with Nick Caserio, I want to say that's a 7.
Wow, okay.
I think that Caserio, it's not a 10 because I think Caserio being very analytical and probably, I think we'll probably be able to discuss some of these things almost matter-of-factly, where Deshaun might be going into a meeting with Nick Caserio anticipating like, all right, is this guy going to yell at me or what? I think Caserio can kind of just lay it all on the table, kind of like Belichick, and just tell him like, well, this is what, you know, this is how we see things. How do you see things? Like, this is how we're going to try to rectify it.
Yep.
And it's going to be awkward and uncomfortable because they don't know each other at all, as far as I know.
Sure.
But not as bad as it could be with a combative GM.
I think 80% of your 7 is baked into unfamiliarity between the two.
If the general manager were Rhett Auerbach, I would give it like a 10. Because I feel like Rhett Auerbach would be sitting there smoking his cigar and be like,
right.
Listen here, player. I'm the one who calls the shots, you know?
David Culley.
I feel like...
Now, they've already had a conversation reportedly over Zoom.
My awkward level is at a 10 just watching a David Culley press conference. What are you talking like? I feel like it's going to be a 10. I feel like Culley's going to go out of his way to make it. Culley will be trying so hard for it to not be awkward that it's going to be super, super awkward. And that's not Culley's fault. I think under normal circumstances, I would give my personal level watching David Culley in an interview a 1. But because everything's been so strange and Culley is so ill-adapted to playing the game of like duplicitousness and everything,
yeah,
that it's awkward because I feel bad for the guy. I think Deshaun might feel so bad for David Culley that he ends up playing for the Texans and being an all pro.
The Culley, we'll get to this in the 8 o'clock hour. The Culley press conferences, if Deshaun's showing up at practice, the Culley press conferences have the potential to be amazing.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what the line of questioning is, you know, at any David Culley press conference since this whole Deshaun thing started, the ratio is like 7 of the first 10 questions are about Deshaun.
I think with Culley, though, maybe this is just luck or maybe this is the method to it. He kind of talks in circles about Deshaun stuff to the point where people are just like, all right, okay, whatever. Okay, whatever.
He beat you down.
Yeah.
I submit. I'm tapping out.
I think he's a pretty effective circle talker.
Yeah, he is. All right, 3 more before we get to headlines. We're power ranking the awkwardness level for Deshaun bumps into you in the hallway at NRG Stadium, power rankings. Anybody from the current massage or training staff?
This is an interesting one. I'm going to read a quote from Joni Han, who's been basically the Texans massage therapy coordinator really since the inception. Okay. Now I never like personally, I actually had a couple massages from Joni early on, but she was out in Missouri City or whatever. And I loved her. She was awesome. But then in the stadium, they only have like for all this talk of like, well, the Texans have unlimited resources when it comes to massage therapy. You get like a 20-minute massage from the massage therapist and then you're shuffled out the door. So right. It was never extensive enough. Like the Texans didn't commit to it. So I had my own people that I went to. She said, quote, I've got nothing to say because we have not been involved. We have been on contract for 20 years. Any of my therapists that have seen him, there's been nothing that's gone on with Deshaun because he knows he would have to deal with me. So there's really nothing for us to say. All of these Instagram girls, that has nothing to do with Genuine Touch. That's the name of her massage therapy service. So I think that if I were Joni, I don't know if Joni would do this at all or not, but if I were Joni, I might look at Deshaun and be like, we were never good enough for you, huh? Yeah, this is, okay, good. I see how it is. Yeah.
So is that your way of saying the awkwardness level will be a 10?
It might be a 10. Okay. I feel like Joni should just kind of
be like, 13.
Yeah, maybe you should have, towed the company line there, champ.
Okay.
What do you...
Now, that's the case. It's an 18 on the scale of 1 to 10 for
Joni is not like that at all.
Right.
So
right.
I don't think she would do that. But if I were Joni, and I'll tell you, Joni, I think that's what you should do.
These are the big two here. Okay. Awkwardness level of bumping into Deshaun in the hallway. Cal McNair.
Okay, will he bump into Cal? The first time he sees Cal, it will not be a bump into. It'll be probably up in the office or something.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think it's the right thing to put Deshaun in front of Cal after what we read in Albert Breer's column earlier today?
It's got to get at some point where if it's going to work out with the Texans, and if, as Albert Breer and others have reported, Deshaun's major gripe is with Cal McNair, at some point those two should probably get together.
Agreed.
If Easterby and Cal McNair and Nick Caserio still want potentially for this to work out somehow.
Yep.
So yeah, I would say that they have to. So I'm going to say it's always awkward when you meet with the owner.
Yeah.
I think even, I'm going to ask a couple of the more famous guys I know. Cause maybe, you know, like the super famous guys get comfortable with everybody.
Yeah.
I was always blessed to have really cool owners, but I always felt a little awkward about them. So I'll just still say, I'll say a 7 or 8 with Cal. The Jack Easterby is the one.
That's the last one
Jack
on the
Easterby,
list.
Jack Easterby, awkwardness level 10.
Because
I think Easterby is a guy that if you buy in to what Easterby is selling, it's awkwardness level 1. I think people that like Easterby are gung-ho Easterby. I think if you don't like Easterby, it's level 10 always because you feel like, I don't like what this guy is selling. What's his angle? What is he doing here? How is he trying to convince me of something? So I think Easterby is an all-or-nothing guy. And with Deshaun, it would definitely be a level 10. And Deshaun, remember when he was asked about Easterby, basically said that he didn't really have any kind of relationship with Easterby.
Correct.
Or know him all that
a
well.
A year and a half after they were both in the organization
together.
Yeah.
So the Easterby is going to be a level 10 if they indeed ever even talk. I think the organization understands that Easterby went a little too far in some respects in just how involved he was with players. And I think there's a good chance they're trying to pull that back a little bit or formalize it a little
Casario's
bit.
Well, Casario's answer to when you and I asked him about that, you know, back in, I think in June or May, or one of the interviews we did with Nick Casario seemed to indicate that. The Casario said, Jack has nothing to do with personnel. He'd be the first to tell you that. So, all right, so there we go. The awkwardness level for Deshaun. What it sounds like is there's the potential for a lot of very awkward interactions in NRG Stadium. Let's get to headlines.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
We've been talking a lot about Deshaun Watson reporting to the team. Camp Casario gets started on Wednesday. Sports Radio 610 will be out there for you all day long, starting at 6 a.m. with Seth Payne and myself. Ian Rappaport this morning on the NFL Network with the latest on the Deshaun Watson arrival at NRG Stadium.
Another very serious soap opera that has been ongoing for the last several months, and that involves the Houston Texans. Early yesterday morning, Deshaun Watson, the star quarterback for the Houston Texans, who, of course, we've discussed so much this past offseason because of the allegations regarding off-the-field conduct and, of course, his demand to be traded and never play for the Houston Texans, he showed up. He showed up for testing. He showed up for meetings. He is now headed to training camp. And obviously one of the reasons is he wants to avoid a $50,000 per day fine. Holdouts are almost impossible now for NFL players. Deshaun Watson not going to be a holdout, going to protect his money. However, he still wants to be traded from the Texans, still does not intend to play for them. And general manager Nick Casario, as far as I know, has not taken any calls to facilitate a trade. So that is where we are in both of those crazy situations.
Right, we should follow up. When they say both of those crazy situations, the first part of that Rappaport report was about Aaron Rodgers. We just played the Deshaun portion of it. Follow up to that, Tom Pelissero, shortly after Ian Rappaport posted that appearance on NFL Network, Texans are now willing to listen. This is Tom Pelissero, the NFL Network, and have been for some time, to trade offers for Deshaun Watson. Multiple sources tell me and Ian Rappaport the price is high for a player of his caliber and should be. It'd likely take at least 3 first-round picks and more. Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, SI.com, has an extensive piece on Deshaun Watson arriving at NRG Stadium. And the upshot when it comes to a trade of Deshaun, Seth, is Albert Breer saying that the sense the rest of the league is getting is the Texans are in no rush to move on Deshaun Watson. The big question now is he out there on Wednesday at practice?
Right. And I don't think they should be in a rush, and I don't think a lot of teams out there right now are clamoring to give up 3 or more first-round picks for a guy who's under as much legal scrutiny as he is right now. So it's a big old massive waiting game, and oh, by the way, there's a training camp to be had right now. I think he practices on Wednesday. This is what I'm going to guess, and this is not a prediction whatsoever because we're so far outside the envelope right now. Like how do you operate in this situation? I don't know. Nobody's ever been in it before. My gut tells me that I try to make myself like old school football guy, and old school football guys says, okay, well, you're playing, but you know what? I don't care who you are. You weren't here in the spring when we were installing and learning all this stuff. You don't know some of the terminology yet, so we're going to start you off at third string and take the reps with the backups. And I don't think you have to be like a hard ass when you say it to Deshaun that way, but that'll just kind of be the nature of the way it goes. And then my other thought is that Deshaun's out there taking reps with the third string, and I'll be surprised if he's his same self. I expect to see kind of maybe a more somber, quiet, not energetic, vivacious, running down the sidelines type of Deshaun Watson. That's my gut guess right this moment.
Yeah, I think some of that may be the fact that he's not familiar with like 80% of the guys who are going to be out there.
Yeah.
Think about it. The guys that Deshaun has long-term relationships with on this team, his longest tenured teammate on the offensive side of the ball is probably Laremy Tunsil, who's been here for 2 seasons. This is Laremy Tunsil's second full training camp with the Texans, because he got traded here at the end of training camp in 2019. Think about that. I mean, the offensive line, the offensive line, like Titus Howard got here the same offseason. Titus Howard's actually a longer tenured teammate of Deshaun Watson than Laremy Tunsil. He was at least drafted in 2019, wasn't traded for in August. Brandon Cook, Kiki QT, I guess, is one that's been here a while. Point being that Deshaun Watson probably doesn't have a lot of guys that he knows well enough to even clown around with like that. It's super weird.
Like, speaking of new guys, the Texans' newest player, as far as I know it, unless there were any transactions, the Texans' newest player is going to be Anthony Miller.
Yes.
The wide receiver who the Texans swapped a late-round pick for from the Chicago Bears.
Former second-round pick, and they flip-flopped late-round picks with the Bears to pick up Anthony Miller.
So he's the brand newest player. And think about how weird it is that Anthony Miller... You know, you might be thinking, well, okay, you know what? He's kind of like Kiki QT. He's been inconsistent. He's got electric athleticism. But the Bears just got tired of dealing with him. Wait, he got ejected in the playoff games because he bit.
I forgot about that.
I say he bit. He didn't physically bite somebody, but he got baited by the dude from the Saints that baits everybody. MJGJ.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah.
So they were just flat out sick of him. But think about that. Typically, if a quarterback got traded to a team that had an all-pro quarterback, or excuse me, if a receiver gets traded to a team that has an all-pro quarterback.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a guy that just made a career out of baiting Bears players.
Right.
He's a bear baiter. So, typically that would be a pretty good deal. This is the exact opposite. He's leaving the Bears where all of a sudden they finally had a promising young quarterback in Justin Fields.
Right.
He leaves the wasteland that was the Mitchell Trubisky experience, but now he gets here. But he might be getting a lot of throws from Deshaun if he's working with the number threes.
That's true, because it is kind of a crowded position, slot receiver. They've got Randall Cobb and Kiki QT. So that's the latest with Deshaun Watson. We're covering it from pillar to post here today on the show, as you can probably tell. The other headline was, indeed, Anthony Miller traded to the Houston Texans. So another new face for the Houston Texans.
Anthony Miller, so just to talk about Anthony Miller briefly, and this crowded slot receiver, I saw somebody write that this makes Randall Cobb redundant. Like, I don't know if I would have phrased it quite that way. Randall Cobb's contract, probably going to be here this season. Yeah. And it's not like Anthony Miller, who's been a huge disappointment, has all of a sudden made Randall Cobb redundant. But I'd be very fine with him being better than Randall Cobb.
Sure.
If he's but he's very much a guy that he's got to prove himself.
Yep.
It might be one of those situations where maybe a change of scenery is good. Maybe with a different set of coaches, different circumstances, maybe you do get the best out of Anthony Miller.
Yep.
You know, who's like that?
Who?
I'm just going to keep interrupting you.
That's okay.
That's all right.
I
apologize. Jimmy Smith, the wide receiver, who's a second round pick by the Cowboys. And he had some health issues, but he is also the Cowboys weren't happy with him. He ends up going off to the Jaguars, and it has a near Hall of Fame caliber.
Yeah, career. became a really, really good receiver. Your former teammate, Jimmy Smith.
Now he was a physical freak. He was like Andre Johnson level of physical specimen. But a change of scenery does make a big difference sometimes.
Yeah, Miller's got tools. I mean, he was a former second round pick. So I approve of the trade. I think Nick Caserio is bringing a lot of these guys in, Seth, like they're penny stocks. And if he hits on, and if it, you know what? And Anthony Miller's in a contract year now, but if he comes in and he catches, 20 or 30 balls first half of the season, team needs a wide receiver somewhere, go flip him for a fourth, and guess what? You picked up some extra draft equity.
One of these guys is crypto.
That's right.
These cryptocurrencies.
Are.
You're not sure you should believe in them, but it seems like somebody does. And then all of a sudden it takes off.
That's right. That's right. You're being told by.
You should probably go buy Bitcoin.
That's true, Nick Caserio. You know what, Ben? Good pull. All right. Next headline. Astros Rangers. The Astros beat the Rangers yesterday 3-1. In a game that Seth Payne was in attendance at. What was it like out at the yard yesterday?
It was good. I was excited because I got in there at the top of the first inning. Yeah, I was midway through the top of the first, and it was pretty full already on a Sunday afternoon. It was nice.
We went Friday. It was packed.
It was really, I mean, Greinke dealt for the first six innings and then just fell completely apart in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
But it was all my one big regret, Sean. You know, I've never gotten on the fan cam of any sort at a major league sporting event.
Mm.
And
sounds like an interesting bucket list thing.
You and I tried to out at the Sugarland Skeeters.
Oh, the Simba cam.
Yeah, now that's not major league, but they were doing the Simba cam where people hold up their babies or their kids. And I tried to hold you up and I was shaking you.
Well, I stood on the chair. On the chair in front of you. And if they had gotten us at the right angle, it would have looked like you were holding me up. You would have looked like a superhero.
Yeah, and it got to know, frankly, I was supporting a good deal of your weight, and you've lost a lot of weight, but you are a full-grown man.
Yes.
And I was actually starting to get a little bit nervous towards the end of it. I could not get on a Sugarland Skeeters fan cam when there were like 1,500 people in attendance, and I'm holding up a full-grown, newly svelte, but still not the smallest man in the world, and I couldn't get on that fan cam.
Okay, the worst part of that was the camera people that controlled who was on the Diamond Vision there at the Sugarland Skeeters game were looking over at us and pointing at us and laughing. Like, if you think it's so funny, aim the damn camera over here, you bastards.
So anyway, we'll have another chance this week because we're going to go on a scouting mission to see Alex Bregman.
We are. I can't wait.
But I went off to get, you know, as a matter of journalistic integrity, I always feel like I have to sample a lot of the different food items when I go to an Astros game as a fan, not as a journalist.
Do tell.
I went and got the... I felt like I was in a healthy mood, so I wanted to get some kind of grilled chicken. So I got the buffalo chicken tots.
You were doing fine until you threw tots in there. It sounds delicious.
Sean, it's safe as hell because it comes in an orange batting helmet.
Oh, you're fine then. Yeah, so you're protected.
I'm protected from CTE.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm sitting there, you know, partaking of my
buffalo chicken tater tots. What else was on it?
Buffalo chicken sauce, some ranch dressing.
Okay, there you go.
And tater tots. Really, the ranch dressing and, like, I don't know. These are baked tater tots, I assume. But I'm sitting there eating out of my big orange bowl. Yeah. Feel a little goofy, honestly. But as I was, like, sitting in the back of the concession area.
Right, right.
Didn't want anybody to see me.
Right.
Like, you know, like George at the tennis match. And then I look up in my section. I was sitting in 217. They're on the flex cam. The two little kids underneath me,
two rows ahead of me,
were flexing. And I see my empty seat. I could have been flexing all over the place.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, were the tots good at least? They sound delicious.
That was a really good dish. That was
so hungry hearing that.
I was
right
like,
now.
And I earned it too because the kid making the chicken tater tots.
Yeah.
He wasn't the quickest of all food service workers. Like I was watching as I was standing in line. I was like, why is this line taking so long? And it's because the guy who was in charge of preparing the hot dogs couldn't keep up. He's just like lazy to be like,
pronging a hot dog out of boiling water and putting it in a bun is too much.
It's like you could hear the creak of the plastic container going down. So when I ordered the chicken tater tots, I knew it was going to take a good 5 minutes. So the people behind me were getting really agitated.
I wonder if the folks at ballparks in food services are dealing with some of the same dynamics that restaurants are dealing with, which is a lack of a workforce right now because everybody's staying at home collecting all that government money.
Or they're getting better job offers elsewhere because it's
for whatever reason, it's a hard vertical market to find labor right now.
Yeah. It's a big reset, man. There's a whole lot of job hopping going on. Take this opportunity, everybody, if you're employers are probably PO'd. Except that, you know what? No, this is good. When things get shuffled around, then the rightful talent goes to the rightful job.
It is.
Sometimes people get stagnant. And they feel like, oh, what am I doing in this dead-on job? But there's no opportunities. Now there's so many opportunities to go do the thing that you really should be doing.
It's an interesting thing. I used to hire a lot of people, and back in the day, it was frowned upon, at least I did, when I got a resume of somebody who clearly did a lot of job hopping.
Yeah.
I wonder if the pandemic gives you kind of an excuse when you have a resume now and you go in and you took two or three jobs in a period of a couple of years, 2020 through 2022, let's say, where you go, it's... the pandemic, I mean, there was all kinds of opportunity and things like that. I wonder if employers will be a little more forgiving.
Well, sometimes there are a lot of companies themselves put a lot of artificial barriers in place to keep talented people from, you know.
Yeah.
They'll have somewhat arbitrary requirements sometimes that actually keep a lot of qualified candidates away, where now when they start to relax that, things shuffle out for the better.
Yeah.
And then the other big thing, we're going down into like economics radio. The weird thing in America, in a lot of places other, but also just the weird thing about work in general now is that so many people are tied to a job that they're not actually best suited for, or they don't enjoy just because they can't sacrifice the health insurance. All right, well, man, look, I got a good plan and I can't go elsewhere where there is a capitalist argument for socialized health care, but we're not going down that road right now.
That's why I've told my kids, because my kids are able to be on our benefits till they're like 26 or something like that. I said, if you want to go do something where you're taking your shot, you're shooting your shot, and you don't worry about benefits, do it these next few years because you're still on my dime. So that's what I told my kids. All right. Last headline. By the way, you're listening to KLT and KLT HD2 and Odyssey Station. Seth, what was your emotional, visceral reaction when you saw that our men's basketball team lost to France at the Olympics yesterday?
Extreme anger, focused solely and completely on Kevin Durant. I don't know.
He wasn't good at the end of that game.
I don't know who's responsible for it. I refuse to even read about it. It's just that... there's part of me that's actually kind of proud of America for getting to the point where we spread to this most American of games, you know, baseball. And because baseball is even a little bit like cricket. Like, I'd say basketball is our most American game. I'm probably screwing somebody over, right? But it's our most American game. And in the course of, like, really 20 years, all of a sudden, it's gained such popularity and there's so many good players that, yeah, a team like France... as NBA players, this is the important thing, have played together internationally a bunch. And there's a flow and there's a cohesiveness to their game that you're not going to get when you throw a bunch of basically like an AAU All-Star game together. So I'm proud of you, America, for losing in basketball.
Yeah, you're proud of America.
Are you buying that?
Yeah, that means a good try.
It'd be like if you're you're a teacher of any sort, when all of a sudden your pupil becomes smarter than you. Yeah. You have to be proud of yourself for being a good teacher.
We're proud of you, rest of the world, for finally catching up to us.
John, when I was a freshman in college, one of the kids on my floor had spent a year in the it wasn't the Peace Corps. He went like off teaching in some Balkan country. Might have been Slovenia for all we know. And they just put up a backboard in this small town that he was in. I say Slovenia because that's where Luca's from.
Yeah, yeah.
But and so he was helping these kids learn English. And he went out there and was just, this kid like didn't play on his high school team or anything, but he was out playing basketball a little bit, and he may as well have been Michael Jordan. He was this 5'9" dude of zero athleticism, but he had skills of just growing up and playing, you know, up through JV basketball. And they thought he was the most amazing thing they'd ever seen because he was nailing three-pointers and stuff. And now you look... it's been 20, 30 years, and it's just world-class basketball players all over the place.
We, back in like 85, my brother's a really good soccer player in really his whole life, but when he was in like 8th grade or 9th grade, he was playing for a club team that went on a trip over to Greece for like a tournament over there. And so I went with him I can't remember if either of my parents went. I think I was going over there with him just so he had some family member with him on the trip. So I'm like a freshman or a sophomore in high school at that point. It's like 1985. And I'm just kind of bored killing time in Athens or whatever. And there's some kids, some Greek kids out on a playground playing hoops. Dude, I was bawling against these kids. And I didn't even play for our high school. Like I could play, you know, I could play pickup ball just fine. I played like I was like 14 or 15 in the YMCA league in our town. But dude, they thought I'm like, wait till I learn. Hey. Wait till you guys see me when I learn how to dribble with my left hand.
they're like, he's dribbling and he's not looking at the ball.
Oh my God.
This is nuts. Yeah. This guy is crazy.
It wouldn't be that way anymore. Yeah, it was funny.
So good for you, America. I hope we lose more Olympic basketball games to show really how far we've come.
I do find it really hard. I root for our team because it's the United States, but I'm like, oh God, I got to root for Kevin Durant and Draymond and Popovich.
Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh.
You hate Popovich.
I'm not wild about Popovich.
I'm cool with Popovich.
Are
I like
you?
Popovich. I don't think that I think the problem, this is the problem in basketball with NBA coaches. There's always just so much discussion. It's just the easiest thing in the world to say, like, well, you know, well, Phil Jackson, of course he had Michael Jordan, of course he had Kobe, of course he had Shaq, or with Popovich, obviously, of course he had Tim Duncan, or of course he had Ginobili, or whoever you want to, whichever guy you want to throw out there. When there's way more to it than just that, you know?
I respect his chops as a coach, no question about that. I'm just not, he didn't do it for me, that's all.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.